Put my associate back there, catch up with me. You ready, bro? All right. Praise the Lord for being here tonight and for everybody that chose to come out to be here tonight. The title of the message tonight is John 5, 1 through 9. Then we're going to go to John 4, 1 through 30. So in John 5, verses 1 through 9, it says, After this there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there in that Jerusalem, by the sheep market, a pool which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool, but while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. You may be seated. So we see here a man who had been lame for some 38 years. We see here that quite possibly he had, or obviously he had been to the pool many times because he said, I have no one to put me in. And every time the water's troubled, somebody jumps in ahead of me. Somebody moves in ahead of me. Now I've heard preachers preach before that, you know, this man was, lazy, or he was this, or he was that. But the fact of the matter was, he couldn't get to the pool on his own. The question is not about him. The question is about the people around him, or the people that were surrounding him. Why didn't they help him to the pool? But that's not what we want to focus on tonight. What we want to focus on tonight is the fact that Jesus healed him that day. Now, how many of you believe tonight that was a life-altering experience for that man that day? From that day forward, things were never the same. I mean, for 38 years, this man didn't know to walk. This man couldn't even crawl. This man had no ability to move on his own. But on that day that Jesus came by, something changed. Something took place that day that forever changed the state of that man. Would you agree with that tonight? Now that man could have told him, no, I prefer to be this way. Amen? Because you can choose. Everything in our life is about choices. Every decision that we make, it's our choice. You know, the rich young ruler, as I spoke of earlier, it was his choice to tell Jesus, no, I'd rather not follow you, I'd rather keep my money. The young prodigal son, it was his choice to go and spend all that he had. But later on, you see that the prodigal son also made a choice to return to the father. Amen? It's all about choices. And our choices throughout life, I wish there were more of the young people here tonight, but there's a few of you. Well, some of us are like young. Amen? Terry's raising his hand back there. Everybody says since I... Amen, brother. Everybody says since I shaved off my mustache, I look younger. Well, praise the Lord. I'll do whatever I can at this state in my life. But, you know, young people are faced with a lot of decisions, especially in the frame of mind from changing from school to school. When you take kids that are going from middle school to high school, that's a big change in their life and a big step in their life. Or going from high school to college is an even bigger step because now you're making a choice of what school that you're going to. You know, in high school, you're pretty much told, well, you live here, you're going to go here, all right? But when you get to that college age, you're starting to make choices that will affect the rest of your life, right? When you get married, you're making a choice that's going to affect the rest of your life. And so on, and so on, and so on. You make choices throughout life that affect you. When you make those choices, the common denominator that should always be included in every choice that you make in your life, relative of how small that choice is or how large that choice is, you should always consult the Lord. Amen. Every decision that you make in your life, you should consult the Lord and ask His advice and ask Him to lead you, to guide you and to direct you in that choice. Because every choice that you make, church, is going to affect the rest of your life. I've told my children this all their life. Remember who you are. Remember who you represent. Make sure that the choices you make are good choices. Because the choices you make don't just affect your life. I want to get that point across very clearly tonight. The choices that I make don't just affect my life, church. The choices that you make don't just affect your life. They affect the lives of those around you. Especially if you're a Christian or if you claim to be a Christian. The choices that you make, the decisions that you make, directly affect a lot of people. Amen. And as a pastor, it's even more critical because the choices that I make directly affect a whole lot of people. Amen. People are watching. People are keeping their eye on me and keeping they're focused on me. And the devil wants to destroy me. Amen. And if he can destroy me, there will be a ripple effect. And it will affect a lot of people's lives. Would you agree with that tonight? Amen. Not that I'm anything special, but just because of the position that I hold, it's more affected, amen, when something happens. So we have to be on the guard. Now in saying that, not just I, but you have to be on the guard too. Amen? And watch out, not only for yourself, but for me. And I have to watch out not only for me, but for you. Amen? Kind of keep guard for one another. Don't know why I got into all that, but God knows. Now let's go to John 4, verses 1 through 30. Quite a bit of reading here. Another person whose life was affected just by meeting Christ. And that's what this whole sermon is about tonight, meeting Christ. John 4, verses 1 through 30 says, "When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well. And it was about the sixth hour, there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria, for the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou water? How greater than our father gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, go call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou knowest now hast is not thy husband, in that sayest thou truly. The woman saith unto him, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Church, if she only knew who she was talking to this day. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you say that in Jerusalem, in the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh and now is, when the true worshipper shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. And upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talketh with the woman. Yet no man said, what seekest thou? Or why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith unto the men, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. So we see here a woman who obviously had made some mistakes in her life. She'd made some bad decisions in her life. But on that day, she met a man who could change everything from that point back. Amen? Could make a life-changing experience for her. That day, she didn't know who she was talking to when she started talking to him. She didn't know what she was going to experience when she started talking to him. Apparently to her, it was probably just another day. And I've titled this message that before, just another day, just a common day, nothing different about this day. Obviously, she probably thought, I'm just going to go down here to the well. I'm just going to get me some water in my pot, and I'm going to go back and probably prepare dinner for my family or whatever she had planned to do for that day. But on that day, she met a man who made a life-changing experience for her. Told her all that she'd ever done. Now he kept telling her and emphasizing to her, the water that you're going to drink out of this well, when you drink it, you're going to thirst again. Now, I don't care much for water, to be honest with you. But there's a water that runs through my bones and through my soul that Jesus Christ put in there some 20 years ago, amen. That when it springs up, church, it's something like I've never experienced before. It was a life-changing experience for me. 20 years ago, when I went to an altar to pray, it changed my life. It changed my whole outlook. Sister Joan, it changed the way that I looked at people. The hatred that I once had towards people, I didn't have that hatred anymore. Now you can come to me and you can say, well, Brother Riley, explain to me what happened to you. I really can't explain with words what happened. But I know something happened. Because I know who I was that morning. Brother Carly, and I know who I was that evening. And they weren't anything the same. There was a change that took place. Now, I'm going to tell you tonight, I could not save myself, but I had to make a choice. The opportunity was granted to me, just as it was for this woman. The opportunity was granted to me to choose to live life differently. He come to me and he said, you know, he asked me some questions, and Brother Carl, what was I going to do? Lie to him? He knew. Hey, it was almost as if he was sitting in the seat next to me saying, well, are you saved? No. Well, is life good for you? Well, no. Really, it's not. Although, outwardly, all the appearances, it seems like it's good. It appears to be good. As far as the flesh is concerned, I have all the things that I want. He said, but is there a void? Yes, there's definitely a void. And church, he filled that void for me that day. He changed my life forever. He knew her life. He knew what she had experienced. Now, he wasn't playing games with her. He wasn't trying to trip her up or trick her into anything. He was just talking to her and socializing with her and trying to get her to open up to him. And she told him the truth. She said, I have no husband. Now, he knew that. Amen? How many of you believe that he knows everything about you? Whether if you're saved or you're lost, he knows everything about you. There's nothing hid from him. You can't hide things from him. Sometimes we think we can. We think we're getting over. But we're not. Let's talk about somebody else. In Acts chapter 9. Starting at verse 1, and I'll just read here until the Lord tells me to stop reading. This is a life-changing experience for Saul, who after this took place was no more Saul, but was now Paul. It says, and Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest. I want you to think about that. He was breathing out. In other words, he was speaking out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord. And desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, in other words, any Christians, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. I believe at that moment, in verse 6, it said, and he trembling and astonished said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? I believe at that moment it was a life-changing experience for Paul. Amen? I believe something happened that shook him, Brother Jimmy. And I believe that thing that happened to Saul that day has to happen to each and every individual in order for them to get saved. You have to be shooken at your very core. Amen? There has to be something that takes place that brings trembling to you. Now, I believe, hopefully everybody here under the sound of my voice is saved tonight. But I can't speak for you. Amen? But the message tonight is more about It's about meeting Christ, but it doesn't just end there, church. Even though you get saved, do your decision-making process change there, Jimmy? Do you stop making decisions once you get saved? You're both right. Amen. It's not a trick question, but you're both right. You still need to make a decision. It's your ultimate choice. He won't force you to do anything. But when you make a decision, who should you consult?
Christ.
Christ. Amen. In every decision that you make, again, regardless of how small or how large that decision is, you need to consult Him about it. We are faced daily, church, every day when I wake up, I have a decision to make. Brother, I can choose to let His light shine, or I can choose to hide His light. It's a choice. Would you agree with that tonight? You have a choice. He's not going to force you to do anything. It's about desiring to do it. It's not about being made to. It's about wanting to. See, church, I don't come to church because I feel like I'm forced to. I come to church because I want to. Amen? I don't read the Bible because I feel like that I'm forced to. I read it because I want to. I don't pray because I feel like that I have to. I pray because I want to. See, when things are a chore to you, they become monotonous to you, and they become a burden to you, and you find yourself not wanting to do them. But when it's something that you want to do, you'll put everything else aside, church, to do what you want to do. Amen? When me and Terry set up our time to go hunting together every year, everything else gets put aside. Amen? Our families, our jobs. Now there's one thing that we take with us. We take Christ with us. Amen? But things get put aside. The chores at home, they don't get done until we get back. Amen, bro? We don't go down there thinking about chores, do we? I sure don't. I don't know what he's doing when he's in his tree stand, but I can tell you when I'm in my tree stand, I ain't thinking about nothing but deer or turkey. I ain't thinking about work. I ain't thinking about the chores at home. I do think about my beautiful wife occasionally. Amen, brother. I got a long ride home. And it's a choice. Amen. But every day, we're still faced with choices. It's not things that we have to do, church. It's not things that He's going to force us to do. It's things that we want to do. Amen? We have to want to serve Him. We have to have a desire to serve Him. Otherwise, it's going to be monotonous to us. And it's going to be burdensome to us. And it's going to be boring to us. Amen? I mean, the things that you know, when it's time for me to cut the grass, I don't like to cut grass. And I'll find excuses not to cut the grass. It rained too much this week, or it was too sunny this week, or the grass is too high to cut, or it ain't high enough to cut. And I put off cleaning my garage for what, 8 years? Thanks, brother. I needed that. He's behind me prodding me. Amen. But it was something that I dreaded doing. It's something I didn't want to do. So I put it off. Do you see what I'm saying tonight, church? The choices, you're faced with choices, and the things that you want to do is what you will choose to do. The things that you don't want to do are the things that you will put off. Seek God. Find Him. and get a hunger. Pray, church, for a hunger and a desire to serve Him, to worship Him, to meditate with Him, to talk with Him, to pray with Him, to read His Word, to go to church. Seek a hunger and a desire like you've never had before. Seek out a life-changing experience for you tonight. Something different, something you've never experienced before. Something that's going to help you through every day for the rest of your life. Can I tell you that I've searched high and low, and there's only one thing that I found that can help me through every day, Carly, and that's Christ. Amen. Amen. Believe it or not, there's times me and Debbie ain't getting along. And she, when we ain't getting along, she ain't much help to me. And I ain't much help to her. Amen. There's days me and Sarah don't get along, and when we ain't getting along, she ain't much help to me, and I ain't much help to her. Believe it or not, there's going to be times that me and some of you ain't going to see eye to eye on things. Amen. And it's going to be hard for us to get along. But when Christ is in the midst, amen. When He's in the midst, when you put Him first, it'll make all things work out. You'll show forth that love to them. But most of all, the most important thing to remember tonight, that even when you can't get along with your wife or your husband, or you can't get along with your children, you still need to steal away and have time with God. It's hard, ain't it? It's hard when you're upset with somebody to go and pray. And you know there's a choice that you can make there too. The Bible tells us what to do in that situation. We're just too prideful most of the time to do it. What's it tell us to do? It says if you think that your brother, not if you have aught with your brother, if you think your brother has aught with you, go and reconcile, then bring your gift to the altar. Amen? Not if you're upset with them, but if you even think that they're upset with you, go get it straightened out. Church is all about choices. Everything that we do in our lives is about choices. And those choices are going to be with you for the rest of your life. The fact that the prodigal son came home didn't change the fact of what he did. Amen? He still did what he did. The fact that you got saved doesn't change the fact that you once was a sinner. But I tell you what it does do. It cast your sins into the depths of the sea, never to be remembered against you anymore. You were still once a sinner. That didn't change. The thing that changed is from this day forward, from the day that you got saved forwards, you're a new man or a new woman. All things have changed. All things have become new. You have become a new creature in Christ Jesus. In other words, everything in your life has changed. That, my friend, is a life-changing experience. Would you agree tonight? All right. As long as some of you do. That's your evening message. Church, you're going to be faced with some...